Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they said, The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as they did before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, This is what Pharaoh says. I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, Complete the work required for you each day, just as when you had straw. And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite owners they had appointed, demanding, Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh. Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw. Yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten. But the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh retorted, Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people and you have not rescued your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with my mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you back to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites. But they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of this country. But Moses said to the Lord, If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?
Thank you very much, Phil. And so, Mark, if we can invite you now to come and to speak to us.
Lord, I pray that what I say may be inspired by your Spirit and informed by your word. Amen. Imagine that you are one of the elders of Israel. Moses comes back from the wilderness. You know that he had to flee, having killed the Egyptian, and he's on his way back with the promise of some deliverance. He's going to be God's agent in setting us free. We've been in bondage for too long. The slavery has been too harsh. Moses is going to be God's agent in setting us free. But what happens is Moses goes to Pharaoh and he even asks for something which is not the full whack. Instead of asking for deliverance from slavery, he just says, can you give us a limited time off to take a holiday from our slavery, go into the wilderness, make the relevant sacrifices to our Lord. We haven't been able to acknowledge and worship our God properly because of the harshness of the slavery and the fact we don't have regular days off, let alone festivals. But instead of allowing this, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Why should I do this for you and the God of Israel? Get lost before I have you arrested. And as Moses goes away, he approaches his employees in the labor department and he says, well, this is all because of the fact that the children of Israel are lazy. The fact that they have made this impudent request means that we obviously haven't been hard on them. Let's make it harder. I want the same quota of bricks, but they're to find their own straw rather than us give it to them. So life gets harder. And instead of a 12-hour day, it's a, say, a 14-hour day. And the people who are the foremen, who are Israelites themselves, they get into trouble because people are too exhausted to make the full quota of bricks. So the more they falter, the more Pharaoh comes down on them with harshness and hardness. And there are Moses and Aaron, and they don't seem to be making any bricks. Who do you think you are? You've made it harder for us. Oh dear, thinks Moses, what shall I do? And he goes to God and God says, look, the covenant still stands. I will still let them go. Go back to Pharaoh. Which if I was Moses, was not what I would want to do. That is the story so far. And I think that in the case of biblical characters, sometimes we can be too hard on them because we know the full story, because we can look back, because we weren't there at the time. I think we're too harsh at times on the shortcomings of Jesus's disciples when they falter. Well, we know the whole story beyond the death and resurrection of Jesus. We can look back. What would it have actually felt like at the time? I think we would have felt devastated. I think we would have felt gutted. This was this person who we thought we would put hope in. He would be God's agent in God delivering us. Look where we are now. We are still slaves. We still have to make the same number of bricks, only we don't have straw to make them with. the reality is that we are fallen people living in a fallen world. And even though we know that God ultimately fulfills his promise, he promised then that he would give the children of Israel the promised land, and he eventually did. He promises now that he will give us glory. If we believe in Jesus, there is a state in heaven for us, but it's still to be there in the future. It is not there now. For the time being, the bottom line is that despite what the future promises of God might be, and the fact that because of his character and because of his lordship, he can deliver them and he will deliver them, despite the valid hopes for the future, sometimes things are tough for us now. What about persecuted Christians? And at any one point in time, so many Christians are being persecuted. The New Testament anticipates it. Almost all of Paul's works, almost all of Paul's letter, include at least one or two verses on how to cope with persecution. It's not that the apostle didn't anticipate it, or the Lord. Over a considerable period of time, considerable numbers of Christians are persecuted. Even when we're not persecuted, we can have a hard time. We can be discriminated against. We can be living in times of famine, of pestilence, of war, of economic recession. Life can be hard. Basically, the bottom line is, even though we have the ultimate hope of glory with Jesus on earth, here and now, things can actually get worse before they get better. And for the children of Israel, reduced to making the same quota of bricks without straw, for them, things were definitely getting worse before they were getting better. Their hope was in the future, but a fulfillment of their hope did not appear to be there in the present. Ah, there is a hope of deliverance. There is a hope that one day we will get out of slavery and we will go to Egypt. Sorry, we will leave Egypt and we will go to our promised land. But as for now, we're in slavery making bricks. There is for us the hope of heaven with Jesus. But at the now, life can be hard and tough. Things can actually get worse before they get better. How do we respond when things get worse before they get better? I think we have to hope for our future redemption and constantly focus on what God has done in the past, therefore what he is doing behind the scenes in the present, and therefore we have hope of deliverance in the future. We can ultimately trust in the Lord, even if things are tough in the here and now. First of all, because ultimately he is the Lord. And secondly, because of his track record. He's delivered his people from hard times in the past. He can deliver us from hard times now. Even though life on earth will always have wars and economic difficulties and plagues, there is always hope in the future because of God's character and because of God's power. And though the fact that even though he limits himself in the here and now in order to respect personal choice and human free will, ultimately he will be sovereign and he will let his sovereignty be known. God is stronger than this world, and his sovereignty, although self-restricted, will ultimately break through. It's a question of whether we trust him in the present. Even though things may be difficult around us, even though things might be hard living in a COVID world. I think these chapters are as relevant for us now, living in a world of COVID, as they would have been for the children of Israel making bricks without straw. Life getting harder before it gets better. I personally feel that I have a choice to make every day of which there is no default position. Do I react to the fact that life is harder than it was a year ago? Harder than 6 months ago? Do I react to that by getting angry with God? Or do I decide to count my blessings and rely on him instead? Yes, life is harder for most or all of us now than it was 6 months ago, but do we get angry with God? What help does that do? Shutting your deliverer out of your world because you're having a hard time is not a good way of addressing the problem. You can understand it emotionally, but it doesn't make any sense practically. Now we need God more than we ever do. Instead of getting angry with God, what we need to do is count our blessings. But it's not a default position. It's a decision that we need to make on a day-to-day basis. I need to decide to count my blessings. I was thinking some time ago on a particularly bad day when I was inclined to get very annoyed with God. I thought to myself, Mark, look at your life. At the age of 18, my childhood stopped and I also became a Christian. Since then, I've had 43 happy years. I've really been blessed by the Lord. Even though the last 6 months have been tough, I've had 43 happy years. There's no complaints. Okay, my childhood was a bit dysfunctional, but the Lord has really blessed me during my adult life. I can't complain. I should count my blessings. When you're having a hard day, count your blessings and remember what the Lord has done for you in the past. How many good relationships he sent your way. How many good times he sent your way. How many blessings you've received. How many times he's delivered you. How many times he's helped you. How kind he has been to you. I honestly feel at the moment that my life is like a wall with some bricks missing. And I'm sure many of you at this point in time feel the same way, like a wall with some bricks missing. My prayer partner has finally got round to buying a house, but because London is so expensive, the closest he can buy it is Sheffield. The pastor of our church lost his rent control property over 16 years. He needs a 4-bedroom house, 1 bedroom for him and his wife, 1 for his 2 sons, 1 for his 2 daughters, and 1 for his sick mother who's living with them. The cheapest they can find an affordable 4-bedroom house to Twickenham is Coventry. That's 2 hours away. Think of the strain it must be putting on him. I've had various friends live for various places, such as Fareham. One's moved to France because it's the only place she could get an academic post. A close friend of 25 years standing has just returned to New Zealand. I don't know if I'll see her again this side of glory. Our local convenience store has shut. My favourite cafe in Peckham, where me, my 2 friends and the 6 academics I used to visit like down there, all 9 of us used to go to Jenny's Cafe. Jenny's Cafe is closed. Why do I mention that when it seems trivial? Well, all of these bricks, some of them are quite small in their own right, but don't they accumulate? How do we respond when our lives feel like a wall with some missing bricks? Even if they're all small, but they accumulate in weight. Well, I could say to myself, and this is true, that my bereavement is nothing like 2 friends of mine. My friend Ulrika has lost my other friend there, her husband, Brian. Another couple of friends of mine, it's not the husband who's passed away, it's the wife Jeff is still with us, but Ruth is in glory. She passed away 62 years old in perfect health. She had just retired and she was looking forward to 20 years of happy retired life with her husband. All went with a COVID-related illness bang in 1 month. So yes, some people are having it worse than us. Some people are having it better than us, but I'm sure that most of us in these COVID times do feel, with the restrictions in our personal life, with the hardship of not going to the supermarket, but when the food arrives, having to spend even longer cleaning it with cloths. I really do identify with the person with Jill earlier when she said about these people who were artists thinking that they would have more time and they have less time in their hands. We feel exactly the same way. Life is harder for most people. And life is harder for most people than for us. And I particularly feel for my two friends who've become a widow and a widower over these last 6 months. But whatever is happening to you, brothers and sisters, you have a choice within this harder world of COVID. Just like you would have had if you were living in Egypt and having to make bricks. Do we complain and get angry with God and shut him out of our lives? That's what my parents, like lots of secular Jews, did in a response to the Holocaust, but I tell you, it impoverished rather than enriched their life to cut God out. When hardship comes, people have the choice of being angry with God, or else alternatively, we can count our blessings, we can remember how he has blessed us in the past and trust in him to deliver us to better times in the future. And instead of getting angry, we can count our blessings, rely on him to get us out. This is a father who loved us so much that he sent his own son to die on a cross for our sins so that we could have a relationship with him. And after he died for our sins, he had the triumph and the glory to raise triumphant from the dead, triumphant over sin and death and sickness. He delivered us then. He will deliver us in the future. Remember the past and hope and trust in the future if you're struggling in the present, like most of us are in this tough time. Don't get angry. Count your blessings, but press on in time. We have to do what Moses did. Responding to some angry elders, he went to the Lord, and the Lord just reminded him of his promises and how his promises will take place. And then we have to go back and encounter the pharaohs of this world again. Because one day, trusting in the Lord, when we confront the pharaohs, there will be a different outcome. And what happened was exactly what was prophesied in the beginning of Exodus 6. In the end, the children of Israel, not too many years later, did leave Egypt. Their lives of making bricks without straw were finished. And instead of just 3 days in the wilderness, in order to have a short festival, it was actually the Pharaoh letting them go, actually kicking them out into the promised land where God could fulfill his promises. Count your blessings. Trust the Lord. It may have got worse, but there are better times ahead. Thank you for listening.